ilingisaguk munakanak parung ikayokanak patigut munakalugu nunakput taman nasuli kinguwap ta epapak inat keguru wakonaginakpuang alat ukakstusuli ayarid kunun Kona git kuflugununa. Tema suliguk allakun munari shaptiginik nunakun isumakarupta uvaguk tusaliwit ilichurina yakamikun. Kisutilapengit munari shabut nunakun. Anga inyupengin nikli allat Nunakit, nunat. Kanoli savag magenik tu sasi huting mongwe kahuting inyugunik tu sangam mitwak. Inyupet nunangit kanok in makahluwit tasokahluwit tamakuminyahluwit.
States might come up with some kind of money to take care of the problem. Thank you.
That's the policy of the Kotzebue Village Corporation.
The policy of the Kotzebue Village Corporation, yes, is what I expressed a while ago. One is that it allows our shareholders, their spouses, whether they be native or non-native, and their children to use our land.
And I guess somebody else here, if the subject comes up, might speak for the Nana Regional Corporation. Is its policy the same regarding trespass?
I think it piggybacks KIC's policy. Our policy came out first, and theirs is similar to ours, mm-hmm. and it addresses the same issues that our policy addresses as far as development, resource use, subsistence, any kind of development. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Reggie Jewell, and I'll be reading a statement for Frank Ferguson. I am sorry I could not be here in person to testify before you, Judge Berger, but I am committed to attend the mayor's conference in Barrow on this date. I will be brief as possible, considering the broad issue facing your commission. I wish I had my glasses. I am currently a senator in the Alaska State Legislature, having been in the Alaska Legislature 14 years and a board member of the Nana Regional Corporation since its inception. I am a former president of the Alaska Federation of Natives from 1980 to 1983. I am having this presented for me as a private citizen with the experience of my participation in the state legislature and a so-called native leader. It is my belief that the Native Claims Act was a positive action at the time in 1971 when there was little or no recognition of Native rights to land and the deplorable economic position of Natives in general. There is to be expected flaws in negotiation which affects such a settlement. Some of the flaws I see now were anticipated by some. But those flaws were not in a higher priority position at the time of negotiations between the Native community and the Congress of the United States. This was a political solution to a needed resolution, and the art of politics is compromise, of which the Alaska Native community had an uphill battle, and the compromises reached were naturally in favor of the dominant society. The Native community, as I recall, was after a land settlement because the Native community saw land and the natural resources as their only way of survival. They were close to the land, birds and animals, which had provided survival of the species since time immemorial. Since land is an economic commodity, which the state and federal government wasn't about to give up without a fight, a compromise was set. Some form of economic settlement with a smaller portion of land sought was the expedient complex solution. Since the Native community as a whole didn't have a recognized sovereignty and didn't give the economic resources to pursue this matter on an equal footing as did the state and federal government, the Native community ended up with a lesser in real terms. The economic and land payment to the Native community was set forth in the corporate structure of the American system, although alien to most Alaska Natives. Because of the nature of the economic infrastructure set up, too few Natives were really ready for such an undertaking. Most regional and village corporations have had minimal economic benefits to sustain economic growth that will in the near future generate enough clout to hold on to their holdings. The land and natural resources so close to the Native people will eventually get tied up by outside interests through the economic infrastructure of the corporate world. For the Native people to retain their legitimate legal status to their land under the Land Claim Settlement Act, the majority of lands selected must be clear of political and economic pressure and a land patent given to the people of Alaska in perpetuity. Anything else will eventually lead to assimilation of these lands into something the Native people were fighting to prevent with the request for a land settlement. There are other flaws in the Settlement Act, of course, such as stock alienation, newborn, distribution of economic benefits to elders, etc. But the most important issue, I believe, is the non-interference of land and natural resources use for Alaska Native peoples to survive as Inupiats, Aleuts, Indians of Alaska. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and please convey my thanks to Senator Ferguson.
Good evening, Judge Berger. My name is Susie Ehrlich. I am a member of the Kotzebue IRA Council, and I'm representing Chester Ballett, who is our chairman of the council, who's had a tragic death in his family. So if you'll excuse me, I will not enter my scribbled notes as written documentation, but I'll speak off of them. First of all, like Evelyn, I want to welcome you here, but I want to welcome you to the Inupiat village of Kotzebue, which is a politically separate division from the city, from the state, and from the federal government, having its own native government. So welcome. The IRA Council, like many others, appreciates ANCSA for one very important reason. It, or the federal government, through its act, recognized that the natives of Alaska owned the land, that it was not sold when Russia sold the right to govern. And so after many years of theft and robbery, finally admitted to a fault and bought a significant portion of the state. So for the reason of acknowledging that we own the land, we appreciate their action. However, their methods are deplorable, or were deplorable, Congress recognized that there were numerous Native governments in existence, politically separate governments in Alaska, and completely ignored them. It went totally against its method of operation. On the one hand, it recognized our separate political status and dealt with us in that fashion, while at the same time, with the other hand, they were totally ignoring our status. Congress, with that act, violated its congressional responsibility to treat Native governments as separate political governments. And as far as the sale of Alaska, or the sale of the state, the land of Alaska, Congress selected a few individuals, and with the state, in my estimation, and I believe with a good number of the council's estimation, it committed treason. How would the United States respond to, for instance, a country like Canada, who went to a border state, for instance, like Montana, and dealt with others, not the United States, and bought Montana and the bordering states? Congress would not stand for it. The United States would not stand for it. It is their land, their right to protect it. Now, just because the United States is larger than the village governments does not mean that it had to act in the fashion it did. It should have respected our rights. I don't know whether any amendments could ever be made over that. I don't know whether we can gain anything by trying to get Congress to retroactively bring right to what was wrong. When Congress states that we sold our inherent Aboriginal rights, in essence, it's telling us that we've sold two things. One, our subsistence, and two, our land. Now, Natives, we Inupiat, hold those dearest to our hearts. The land means everything to us. It brings us food, it provides for our clothing, it provides for our lodging, it brings us water. It means everything to us. And traditionally or historically, land was not owned. All people had the right to live off of the land. When ANCSA was created, it created property, ownership. Ownership meant separation of property, giving it to someone and parceling it out. Now, I've been told by people that even though I'm a NANA shareholder, because I'm not a KIC shareholder, I could be trespassing on KIC property, or vice versa. That's not a comfortable feeling to me, and I believe to many others, when this has always been our land. It has always been our right to enjoy the benefits of that land. And I believe that one of the traumas that we are currently going through, where we see a lot of alcoholism, suicides, is that whole shifting from sharing to selfishness, because property ownership brings that about. And it goes against our very grain. Subsistence, as it's used nowadays, it merely lumps us in. The state of Alaska cannot discriminate. So subsistence is everyone's right. We use the term subsistence in a politically separate term. And in fact, when the state uses subsistence, it's a privilege. To us, subsistence is our inherent right, because that's how we have always been. And I believe that's how we will always be. So when ANCSA passed, I don't believe it was to our best benefits when, as I understand it, we gave up two very fundamental pieces to our nature. And as I say, just a few selected individuals did that for us. I come from a subsistence family. I grew up that way. I'm very proud of it. I want my children to grow up that way. I want my great-great-great-grandchildren to grow up that way and be proud of it, because it brings strength to us as Inupiaq. It's something different than going to AC or Hanson's. Our grocery store is millions of acres wide, not just a few thousand feet. And it brings us pride. I believe I've spoken quite strongly for the IRA Council, but I hope that they bear with me. And thank you for the time.
My name is Walter Sampson. I'm the Director of Lands for Nana Regional Corporation. Tonight's testimony, basically, I will not testify on what good it has brought for the region, nor what bad thing it has. However, I would like to give a rough figures as to what land's been conveyed and what entitlements we have. But first of all, I'd like to welcome you to the Nana region. And Nana region, being 38,000 square miles with 11 villages within the region. Furthest village being Kobuk, 138 nautical miles to our east. Closest village being Norvik, at 36 nautical miles to our east. Within the 38,000 square miles, we do have some other federal lands. To the northwest, the Cape Krusenstern, which is 560,000 acres, and to our north, Notak National Preserve, which is 6.5 million acres. And to our east, Kobuk Valley National Monument, 1.7 million acres. And to our southeast, Selwyk National Wildlife Refuge, consisting of 2.15 million acres. And to our southwest, the Bering Land Bridge National Preserve, consisting of 2.6 million acres. Now, when our villages, or at the time of our village selections, the villages based basically all their selections on their subsistence use patterns. The following figures I would like to give for our entitlement for the whole region is roughly 2.3 million acres. And up to date, we have received 1.4 million acres of land, which is about 51% of our entitlement. However, we do have some additional lands which will be conveyed to us at later date. And those lands that we will be receiving, the reason that we haven't received those lands up to date is because of question of navigability of water. The native allotment issue hasn't really been settled. Mining claims hasn't really been settled. So until those issues has been settled, we're hoping within the next 2 to 3 years we will have received our full entitlement for the whole region. Thank you.
Could I just ask a question? Villages, you say, made their choices principally on the basis of subsistence. They
yes.
wanted lands that they could use for subsistence. What about Nana Regional Corporation? Were its selections made with subsistence in mind too?
Yes, all the 12C selections, which are the regional selections, were based on the villages. For instance, for the Upper Kobuk villages, we're asked what type of, or where do you most use your lands? And what we did was try to allocate the 12B entitlement equally amongst the 11 villages. However, we do have some larger 12C selections within the Upper Kobuk villages. Now the additional 12C selections that we've got coming, we're hoping to reprioritize those within the village area according to our resources. So that's where we stand right now.
And in this region, you have more federal park and wildlife refuge land, I think, than in any other region, or at least it is a larger proportion of the region than perhaps anywhere else. What has been the experience regarding the Inupiat people in this region having access to the federal lands for subsistence purposes? Has that worked out well, or have there been difficulties?
As far as I know, we really haven't had any difficulties, and as far as I know, their regulation states that subsistence is a priority within all federal lands.
Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.
My name is York Wilson. I live in here maybe for 40 years, County View. I was born in Kivalina, 1998. I was there in Kivalina. In Point Hope, and I go back to Contribute. What you better know how many I'm not to know. You better know what key. Tamana, Tamani. Inyokama ang unang tortigon inyoklo tap ko na inyoklo niya maning mikpakangitut manichuk tay mani no money on hand just from foxes fish little bit. Uba isumakama, liyasumala si kama. Tawro mga kooperasyon mo ilikapta. Pagdaktong sibyo ta, inyong ninyo pahini wagot. Samnay sumalibot. Miglibyo ni kaya, utok kaliyarakto ni miglirak nasok. Kajunawan Makwa. Sevantiwan Minyaglan. Manakalay kasim mata. Nagliwi galaw ang bidugulyo. Ako kasi hirap ko. Nena, kaitje matiut, manirenik, dasama, bimunak sikapta. Kaitje nakawata magko, pikirait kaksidaktut, ikum mati blugulo, okno akurumun, nakawaranalo at okulo, nangin naaksidaktok. Wasi tabrumani, 60 acres so many titillak tami alanman inyuni akwe niya sikap tigo ang ugorak man na uwani pinman tema ang uday kasi manunoa alanman kanuksaw siya niya siraktut Imani maliktog lugo ang ayokapta inyunelgat ang unang iwayguni namuti bulita ang aktao tibulita namuktao tibulita tamanga ang utilama siyot ariga ang raktot mako sumipayat ilokading Tau si nyamot itu iluting. Pangmasi, tenin ngayakapta, nagiraksak inungak siraktok, suli napaktun mako, teruktaktok niyamata, green, inungak siraktok, aglan kiribling, tema, Kerukah sirak tuut, kam nona, ilinga, inyuni agwiram, nalunay kodom, peyagayman, naglisak sirak tuut. Dabra, itkakaya, imatabani, 1920, mannanunawut, Ko kaya kita rumit kung niya aktot kano detema tena nunakit notak kibalina point up up to pero ta nakuni ka labeling urikuti lang na ay katam na tema Ubagok, tusap ka nga diw, inyugay sa yun konyak, naubluni, naum, ilokani. Inyugay sa man, ataw chimik company, ataw chimik maglugo, unan mako inyikon konyak to tayo na hariga, tamara konyak sa si building, company hoktit kayo na lakmet, Tabrik liktol lak sa alawading, kampanik tam na, iluwid liyaksirak, uma po sandwich, tema, ang alaluwidu, sublu tema, kung hindi sura ko na, nagliksa liyaksirak tok, tema tok, taglayigil ako niyo, igjuma, kung hindi sirom, po sandwich ngayon, nungutiga tam na, Tene yune kunyak tamana tamaktok tema tutuinyar mana miksa wadidok tema tutupenan wasi pangma tutupen yune kau nak sayat kunyak tamak kunyak jalai luding Kusente mo ma tigli rang nga una kung ikisurok
I am Inupiaq. What I learned was hunting when I was growing up. There was no money involved, but we lived off the land by fishing. As I think in my mind, I gather ideas concerning corporations. You know that we as elders know humility. This also grows with us as we enter our age as elders. Since 1971, when our children did not get benefits like money, they are pitiful. They don't have anything to heat their homes or have money for food. Let's talk about 60 acres. An allotment is a subsistence hunting site. This is an area of land that is allotted to us. We are out of luck when there are no animals to hunt. We no longer migrate or move with our prey. The people would roam after their hunt. They were together. This is what happened in our past. Food sources are low. Green trees are scarce. Driftwood is used instead. We suffer because of our restricted activity on our allotment or on our allotted lands. In 1920, reindeer herding began at Kotzebue as a business. This included villages of Nortak, Kivalina, Point Hope, and Barrow. We each had our own village herders. When the herds grew, one company was established by the non-native. Before long, the percentage affected our reindeer herding. The smaller herder was ineffective in competing with the larger herder. Soon the reindeer merged with the caribou. Fawns, all were affected because of the percentage requirement. Today, what is good, what was spoken, these are the times we have now begun to experience. The allotment surveyed and given to us is inadequate. Mining has been curtailed. These are our rights to protect what is ours.
Hello. I think we met earlier when before you start off your campaign to listen to all the talks on the land claims, and I asked you a lot of questions, not thinking of being naive of that. And I imagine you're a real expert by now. But anyway, my name is Robert Mullock, and I would like to express some of my feelings of how I see the Land Claim Settlement Act. In 1969, I was just a young man sitting in the community of Norvik, and all the experts came around to the village and wanted to hear my comments. But being naive of what the settlement was all about, I did not dare to comment at that time. Not only that, I wasn't too comfortable in speaking public. But ever since I learned and tried to understand the land claims, I've been hearing experts talk for 13 years. And still yet, I don't see too many experts come running out here fighting for this mic here. But I'd like to just speak a mind of myself, just to share with you, some of you people, and bring you here on the things that have been, that I see. I have traveled to different areas of this United States, as far as to North Carolina, down to California, all the states in between. I met different type of Indians. I went to Mexico, I went to Philippines, I went to Okinawa, and I've seen how people live by their culture. And every time I see different areas of people, I say, wow, what they do is they have strong cultures, or they got strong backing on their side. And my understanding from the land claims is probably a lot different than from what you see. And so when I sit there and talk, I'm not trying to offend anybody, or much less I'm trying to imply that certain people are not running the or regional corporation or whatever. What I see the land claims, it started a new type of lifestyle. In December 18, 1971, we thought this was the clue, this was the answer. At that time, nothing was happening too much around here. Politically, we didn't have too much thing going on, although people were dying to be strong politically. But there was an opportunity, yes. There was an opportunity that a lot of people needed and wanted. And as the land claims passed, we start hearing it, and when I start understanding it, and people start understanding it, they say, hey, man, this must be the thing. This must be the thing that we're waiting for to solve all our problems. But unfortunately, it did not happen that way. And we've been through it for 13 years now. And has it solved our problem? No. Even right now in this United States, in Kotzebue area, in Nana region, we got the most highest suicide rate. That didn't solve our problem. If you look at the land claims, and if our expert riflemen look at it, they would say it's full of bull. You know why? Why is that? Because when you are an expert shooter on a rifle, you hit a bullseye, and the funny thing about it, he can shoot it about 60 times on that land claims, and he can have 60 bullseyes. And if you're an expert shooter, and if you can hit it 60 times on the same object, and have 60 bullseyes, you know there's something wrong with it. And this is how I see the land claims. It has a lot of loopholes. For everything that it stands for, it has everything, the right for it to fail. Look at it. Let's go back a little bit. When it passed December 18, 1971, they were only given 1 to 2 years to select our land. Look at the state. They were given 20 years. Look at the government. They can take their own sweet time anytime they want to do it. And people, what I see there is there's a lot of flaws in it. And if we look at as to it to save us, to save our people, it ain't gonna do that. It hasn't yet so far anyway. And for 7 years, we have 7 years now. And we gotta start tightening up the belts of our corporation because we don't have time to do that anymore. We gotta straighten out the people that run our board. If we're going to rely on our regional corporation, we gotta do something. Look at it, what happened to the people? It divide the people. Look at them native allotment. Look at them in different aspects. You wanna go on the side of veterans? I was a veteran when this thing happened. I miss out on everything. Thanks to my mother, she went over there and sent me an application, which I was in Okinawa. I sent it back, it barely got in time. And therefore, I miss out on whatever else supposed came with the package. And we can sit there and we can talk about the land claims, but what it did to our people, and some, even brothers and sisters were fighting to get native allotment. Everybody was saying, all of a sudden, it was mine, not ours, mine. Everybody say, this is where my grandmother lived, so therefore it's mine. Whereas before, it used to be ours. See, it changed our thinking. You can look at our community here. You see Fort Apache going up over here, which is a hospital. It's got a fence around it. That's a beginning. You're going to see more and more fences that go around this community pretty soon. Not only that, it's going to be out there where we hunt. And it's not only going to take us one day to go hunt, it's going to take us weeks to go hunt because we have to go around all the allotments, around KIC, around Putu, around even the federal government land. And if you can see it right now, we might as well just forget about hunting. Because sooner or later, the thing is going to come to a close. Not only that, look at our children. I got two children that's not in the native, that they're not in the regional corporation because they're born after December 18, 1971. But one of these days, these people are going to become adult people. Where are you and I going to be? We ain't going to be around. We ain't going to be around here to tell our children, grandchildren, of the things that we try to teach them about the Inupiaq Elite Crusade or the Inupiaq values. If we do it, we've been talking about the Inupiaq Elite Crusade for 13, well, about how many years now? All we do is been talking. We haven't done any action yet. According to my knowledge anyway, I think we have to do more than that. See, what's happening is that what the government history has been all these years. And it's the history that they have with the lower, our brothers, our cousins on Low 48, the Indians, is that what they deal with them. Can't we see what they've been doing to them all these years? If we can look at history, that's why we study history, is to see how what happened to the people ahead of us. And yet when things are presented to us, we do not ask questions of what is imposed to us. That's the reason we have problem, people, is because when the Western system came around, they promised us that they'll take care of us, like the Low 48 Indians. They'll educate us. And how's their success now? Not too good. We have very, very, very few college graduates. But when they don't graduate, then they blame everybody else. Well, it's so-and-so and everybody else. But they don't get down to the truth. Now the land claims, we can even go to a subsistent lifestyle. Our lifestyle is going to change, and it's continuously changing. Because if you want to stop and think about it, Walter Sampson just explained all the national monuments, scenic rivers, and all these other stuff right around our corporation. We're marked, people. We are marked. They know where we live now. They know where our boundary is. Once they know your boundary around there, then all they can do It's just like when we hunt ducks, and it don't want to die, we grab it by the neck, and we sit there, we turn it around. So this is what we are now. We're marked. They know where our neck is. And if they turn it around, we still continue to live. Then the last resort is to sit there and break its back. Look at the history that we have in front of us. We have long history of things that happen in that way. Yet, we get so involved in things that are present to us. We get so bogged down in the things that present to us that we forget to stop and think what happened. How easy we get deceived with the things that people present to us. How easy we go over there and we start going in there. All of a sudden somebody's expert. In everything that comes about in this region right here, somebody is expert. Somebody knows how to do it, how to function it. But see, we were, just like there's a saying, what I use quite often is that it's like when somebody give you a rose, do they give it to you to make you feel good?